Hello everybody, welcome to today's call. I've just called in on my home phone today instead of Skype because my headset was flat. So I'm just wanting to check that you can all hear me. So at the moment we have three or four people who've already joined. So I'm just going to ask you guys if you can hear me fairly clearly to press 1. If I sound really weird and distorted, then press 2. I'm seeing some ones go up. Excellent. So we can get started. It's just always worth me taking time to check just in case. Sometimes you can get a bad line. So as I say every week, if you personally have a bad line on this call, then just redial back in. So I know we have a number of people who have apologized today. They can't make the call live, so I'm assuming a lot of people will be listening to it on the recording. And that's good because today's call is another really lesson is another really, really fundamental one. We've sort of been working in a little bit of a series so far in this course. The first few weeks were really freeing up the hips, helping us to be able to bend our knees up and down. And then we've started to look at patterns of folding the body, bending, and also patterns with the neck. So today it's really going to continue with that theme. We're going to be continuing exploring folding, but particularly going to be looking at how we organize our neck for lifting, bending, folding. So let's just start by coming up to standing on the floor. Just have your arms hanging by your side. It's quite nice to start in standing because then when we come back up at the end, we can see if there's any difference in our posture or the way we feel. Sometimes even the ability to see and perceive things around us can be affected by these movements because they are quite profound. So just starting by sensing the weight in your two feet. Is your weight further forward on the balls of your feet or is it further back on your heels? Is it more on the inside edges or outside edges of your feet? And then start to sense the shape of your back. You could imagine someone ran their hand up your back. Where are the curves? Where are the arches? Where is it flat? Just get a sense of the shape. And then do the same thing up the front of your torso. Just get a sense of the curve of your belly, the curve of your chest. Does your chest feel lifted or sunken? And now notice your shoulders, where they are sitting, how far forward they are, how far back, how close to your ears, how close to the floor. Does one shoulder feel like it's a little bit more forward than the other? Do you feel like you're doing any kind of posture with your shoulders? Do you feel like you're sticking them back or slumping them forward, or do you feel fairly neutral? There's no judgment with these questions. It's just kind of like taking a snapshot with a camera and then you look at the picture again later and see what's different. So today we are going to be working a lot with the neck and the curve of the spine. So just start to sense the shape of the back of your neck. How curved is it? How arched is it? Notice where your chin is in space. Do you feel like your chin is jutting forwards a little bit, or does it feel like it's tucked into your chest? Notice how long the back of your neck is and how long the front of your neck is. And then when you're ready, open your eyes and just look, where do your eyes naturally land? Where is your horizon at the moment? So often when I work with clients on the table, they come up at the end and they walk around and their eyes are looking in a very different place. So it's just an interesting way to see if the organization of the spine has changed. And then just go for a nice short walk around your space just to see how everything's moving today, particularly through the chest and the upper back. How does your head feel like it balances on your body? And then find your way back to the floor, to your mat or rug, and come to lying down. I'm just looking back at the computer and I see we have Philippa from Perth, we have Liz and Susan and Mary, Teresa from Melbourne, we have Jasmine from New Zealand, and Marcia, I think you might be from the States. If I got that wrong, I apologize. So we have an international group today, which is lovely. Listening to it on the recording, and most of you guys are in countries that you're probably, it's a bit late for you to do this. So I really hope you enjoy doing it on the recording. So coming to lying down now, let's take a bit of a snapshot of our body lying down. Now some of you might notice when we do these fairly detailed body scans that you might find you get a bit irritated at paying so much close attention to your body. Some of you might find it boring. Some of you might find it absolutely fascinating and deeply relaxing. Everyone's going to have a different reaction to it. And it's just another set of habits to notice, just like the habits of your posture or the habits of how you move. We have habits of how we like to pay attention or not pay attention to ourselves. So if you do find you get annoyed at having to pay such close attention, just notice that and go, that's an interesting habit. I wonder what that's about. And just see if it shifts a little bit over time. So sensing yourself lying on the floor, start by sensing the space underneath your lower back. Oh, by the way, you can have your legs long or bent, whatever's most available for you. If you can have them long, have them long. But if you have a sore lower back, you might prefer to bend your knees. So just start by sensing the space behind your lower back. We're going to be looking at this a little bit today. Do you feel like it's lifted a little bit off the floor, or do you feel like it's flat against the floor? And then do the same thing with the space behind your neck. How big of an arch or gap is there behind your neck? We looked at this question last week. How big is the arch of the back of your neck? How long is it? Where does it start and where does it finish? So you probably feel it touches down somewhere at the back of your skull, and then maybe it touches down somewhere between your shoulder blades. And just feel those two points and the distance between them. And now sense the whole space, lower back and your neck. So basically the area of your upper back, the back of your chest. You feel like you're a bit heavier or flatter or wider on the left side of your upper back or the right side? How much of your upper back seems to be on the floor? For some people, there'll only be a tiny bit of it on the floor. For others, there'll be quite a large area on the floor. Depends on the arch of the lower back, the arch of the neck, and also the how much the shoulders are lifted. So bring your attention now to the back of your two shoulders. The top of your left upper arm, the top of your right upper arm, the back of your two shoulder blades, the tip of your shoulders, the front surface of your shoulders. Just notice if the two shoulders are lying differently on the floor. You might sense one is lifted forward a little bit more than the other or lying flatter than the other. Now, using your frog legs movement, bend your knees one at a time and stand your feet. And now, if you have very serious neck pain, I want you to skip the next movement and just listen or do it in your imagination. But if your neck is fairly okay, you just have occasional twinges, but you're pretty much good, then I want you to do this next movement, but just very small. Just listen to the instructions first. We're going to do a test movement of just seeing what it's like to lift your head without your hands behind your head. It doesn't need to be a big movement. For some of you, you'll lift it just the tiniest amount, enough so that you can slide a piece of paper out from under your head. Some of you will lift your head quite high. It will just depend on lots of factors. So don't push it. Let's just see what's possible as a test movement. See how high the head lifts and how heavy it feels. And then slowly lower it down again. And some of you might find that your head does not lift at all. The first time I did this lesson, I physically could not lift my head without using my hands. So there may be many of you who are experiencing that, and that's totally okay. By the end of the lesson, it will be very, very different. We're just going to do it one last time, and what you're listening for is how heavy does your head feel, and how high can you lift it easily without stressing or straining. So it might be 1 millimeter, and that's the answer, and that's okay. So let's go ahead and see what that feels like. And then lower your head again, let it rest. Now for our final test movement, let's very gently explore rolling the head very slowly in slow motion. Roll whichever direction you like. It's really, really slow. And just staying in the easy range, so not going into any stretching or straining. So it's a small movement and coming back through the middle and rolling to the other side a little bit. Just to feel what's different in the two directions. We've been doing this a lot the last few weeks, so you're probably getting better at rolling small and slow and listening for the difference in the quality. of how your head rolls. And then come back to the middle and just take a rest. You can lengthen your legs for a moment if that's more comfortable for you. We're going to be doing lots of movements with our hands interlaced behind our head. If you happen to have a very sore shoulder today, you can do it with just one arm behind your head. But if you can, use both arms. That will make it easier. So go ahead and interlace your hands and place them behind your skull, behind the back of your head. Now, we're going to do another test movement in a moment. We're going to lift the head, this time letting your hands help you. And again, I want you to notice how heavy does your head feel, how much effort does it require to lift it, and how high does it lift. So we'll just do the movement once just to see what's possible. How high does it lift, how much effort does it require, how heavy does your head feel, and slowly lowering it down again and let it completely rest on the floor on your hands. And we're going to do it a second time just to feel how heavy it is, how much effort, and how high it lifts easily without straining or pushing yourself. And then let your head come back down again and rest. Keep your hands there. Now we're going to explore a whole bunch of different things to look at different aspects of this movement. And each different variation we do is going to fill in another little part of the picture for your brain and how to organize the movement. So some of the variations will make a huge difference for you and no difference for another person on the call. And a different variation might make a huge difference for them but not much difference for you. Because everyone has different pieces of this already colored in their brain. And we're just going to go quite systematically and color in lots and lots of parts of this image until you have a very complete picture of how to effortlessly lift your head without any effort at all. So let's start with the arms. In a moment, I want you to notice what happens when you lift your head. Do your elbows stay pointing out to the sides, or do they lift at all? Just notice what you do. We're just going to do the movement once and see what do you do with your elbows as you lift your head, using your hands to help you lift your head. And then as you lower down, notice what happens to your elbows. Two different ways, and I want you to make up your mind for yourself which is easier. So the first way we're going to do is to keep our elbows pointed out to the sides as if we were doing a sit-up. So go and see what this is like to lift your head with your elbows pointing out to the sides. And lower your head down and rest there with your hand behind your head. Now, let's just try something. Keep your head on the floor this time. Keeping your head on the floor, see what it's like to let your elbows float up a little bit towards the ceiling. So your elbows lift a little bit. Feel what happens in the back of your shoulders as your elbows lift. And then lower your elbows back to the floor. Your head is staying resting at the moment. We're just teaching your elbows how to lift a little bit, feeling what happens through the shoulder blades, as your elbows lift a little bit, and slowly lower your elbows out to the side. Now we're going to combine that with lifting the head. So in a moment, as you lift your head, your elbows are going to float up a little bit towards the ceiling so that they're no longer pointing out to the side. So go ahead and see what it's like to lift your head, letting your elbows point a little bit up to the ceiling. Feel how your shoulder blades open a little bit. And then if you lower your head down, your elbows return to pointing to the sides. Now some of you may find that allowing your elbows to move a little bit towards each other actually helps the lifting of the head. So just try that again, letting your elbows lift a little bit towards the ceiling so they point up towards the ceiling a little bit. You're not squeezing the elbows together, it's just they lift a little bit towards the ceiling. So they're not pointing out to the side anymore. It just opens up your shoulder blades. And as you lower your head down, you let your elbows come back out to the side. And now please take your arms out and have a rest. Let your arms come down to your side, lengthen your legs and have a rest. Now we're going to be doing many different kinds of movement of lifting the head today. I really want you to take care of yourself. Two big things I want to say. One is if your arms get tired behind your head, just take them out like we're doing now and just give them a rest. Don't wait for me to say rest. Because one of the things I'm training you on in this course is how to start to listen to your own body. The only difference between advanced Feldenkrais students and beginners is that the advanced ones take way more rests and they don't wait for the teachers to tell them to. It's really interesting to watch. And the only other difference is they do the movements much smaller and slower than the beginners. Other than that, it's pretty similar. So taking rest. And the other thing is, don't treat these movements as stomach crunches or sit-ups. What we're doing today is trying to teach the spine how to organize bending or folding really efficiently so that your head will just pop up effortlessly into the air when you lift your head. We're not working on strengthening our stomach muscles. By the end of this lesson, you'll be able to lift your head so easily without hardly even engaging your stomach muscles, because it will be all about the organization of the spine. So just forget about sit-ups and stomach crunches. This movement might look a little bit like that, but it's got nothing to do with that. It's not a stomach crunch. If you're starting to feel your tummy doing lots of work, then do the movements much smaller and much slower, and start to really pay attention to these other things I'm suggesting, the first one being the elbows. And we're going to look at some others now. So bend your knees, stand your feet, use your frog legs movement if you remember that. Interlace your hands and place them behind your head. And now let's look at the breathing. So we're going to do a movement of lifting the head again, letting your elbows float up towards the ceiling. And I want you to notice, do you tend to lift your head as you breathe in or as you breathe out, or do you tend to hold your breath? There's no judgment, just notice what it is that you like to do. So go ahead and lift your head, letting your elbows float up towards the ceiling, and notice, do you breathe in or do you breathe out or do you hold your breath? And what do you do as you lower your head? And once you've figured that out, we're going to try it all three ways. So let's start with the holding the breath version. So I want you to take a big breath in, hold your breath, and then lift your head, letting your elbows float up to the ceiling a little bit. Notice what that feels like, doing the movement with your lungs full of air. And let your head rest on the floor. The next time you do it, I want you to wait until you're breathing in, and I want you to lift your head as you breathe in. And notice what that does to the movement. Breathe out as you lower your head. And then rest again with your hands behind your head. Now we're going to explore the third version, which is to wait until you're going to breathe out and lift your head as you breathe out. So breathing out as you lift your head. Notice how your lungs can collapse a little bit. Your ribs can soften a little bit. And breathe in as you lower your head to the floor. And let's stick with that version. So the next time you lift your head, wait until you breathe out and allow your elbows to float up to the ceiling. And as you breathe out, lifting your head just a small amount. We're still at the start of this lesson. And slowly lower your head down. Take your arms out, lengthen your legs, and have a rest. The interesting thing about this lesson is as it goes on, you're going to find it gets easier and easier to lift your head, and your head's going to feel lighter and lighter, which is kind of like the opposite of traditional sit-ups, which as you do them, you get more and more tired, and by the end, it's harder and harder to lift your head. So this is basically the opposite of a sit-up, this lesson. It's all about how to find ease, how to organize the movement more efficiently, more cleverly, so that even though you will have lifted your head quite a lot of times, by the end it actually will be easier and easier. So it's quite an interesting process. Just noticing as you rest, the way your chest is lying on the floor now, your upper back, the back of your shoulders, space behind your lower back, your two arms, your two legs. And now interlace your hands again, place them behind your head, and do the frog legs movement to bend your knees, stand your feet. If you don't know what I'm talking about by frog legs movement, go back and do the very first lesson in this series of 10, because I taught people how to bend their knees in a really easy, efficient, effortless, painless way, which we call frog legs. So have your hands interlaced behind your head. And now we're going to explore the use of the eyes in this movement. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift your head again. You can do it as you exhale, and you can let your elbows float up to the ceiling. And I want you to notice, what do you do with your eyes as you lift your head? So for example, you might find you like to look up at the ceiling as you lift, or you might find you like to let your eyes look somewhere else, or maybe you have them closed. So just say what it is that you prefer to do, or what's your habit. As you let your elbows float up, you breathe out and you lift your head. Just notice, where do your eyes go? If you need to do the movement a second time to see that. And then just pause with your head on the floor. Now we're going to try two different places for your eyes. So what I'd like you to do is open your eyes, look up at the ceiling, stare at the ceiling, and keep your eyes fixed on the ceiling as you lift your head. So go ahead, let the elbows float up a little bit as you breathe out. Lift your head and keep your eyes looking at the ceiling. And this may be what you were already doing, or this may feel different. If it's different, notice how it feels different. And let's do that again. Waiting for the exhale as you breathe out. Lifting your elbows, looking up at the ceiling as you lift your head, and notice what that feels like, and then let your head rest. Now we're going to try something different. The next time you lift your head, as you do, I want you to let your eyes look down at your crotch or between your legs. So go ahead, wait for the exhale, let your elbows float towards the ceiling, and let your eyes look down towards your crotch, and feel how your chin comes down towards your chest a little bit. The back of your neck gets longer. Some of you might find that this makes the movement a bit easier. So let's do that again. When you're ready, after you've had a rest, as you breathe out, lifting your head, letting your eyes look down to your crotch or even to the floor between your two feet so that your chin comes down to your chest. The back of your neck gets long. You feel how this changes the movement of lifting the head. Let your head rest again on your hands. And now just to make this really clear, let's compare this to the staring at the ceiling version. So the next time you breathe out, as you lift your head, keep your eyes staring at the ceiling. And you might notice that, A, you can't lift your head as high, but it also does something different to the muscles in your stomach and also to the back of your neck. So just do that again to sense what in the back of your neck. And you keep your eyes looking straight up at the ceiling. And then for the last time before we have a rest, let's go back to doing it the easier way, which for most people will be the easier way, which is to look down towards your crotch or the floor between your legs and let your chin come down to your chest. So wait for the exhalation and lifting your head, letting your eyes look down between your legs. And some of you might notice that that allows the spine to round a little bit more and your head to come up a little bit easier. Then take your arms out, take your legs out, and have a rest. While you're resting your back, you might just want to do a couple of slow frog leg movements. So just rolling your right leg to the right, sliding the outside edge of your foot along the floor till you bring your foot to standing. Then rolling your left leg to the left, sliding the outside edge of the foot, bringing your left leg to standing. If you haven't yet done the first lesson in this series, then just keep your legs long and have a rest. And then let one of your knees hang out to the side, slide the outside edge of that foot long, and do the same thing with the other leg. And just start to, one leg at a time, do this nice, delicious frog legs movement really slowly, feeling your pelvis roll. When does your pelvis roll to the left? When does your pelvis roll to the right? And again, if you haven't done this lesson yet, don't worry. Just take a rest while we're playing with this. Rest with your legs long. And then finish with your two legs bent. So everybody, bend your knees, stand your feet. Interlace your hands behind your head. Now we're going to explore what's happening through the spine as we lift our head. This might be a really big turning point for some people, starting to use the spine. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift your head, and I want you to do it as you breathe out, letting your elbows lift, letting your eyes look down towards your crotch. And as you do it, I want you to notice which part of your back presses into the floor. Is it the middle of your back or your upper back? Which part presses into the floor? So go ahead and just explore that, lifting the head, letting the chin come down to the chest. Which part of your back presses into the floor or gets heavier? And another way to tell this is as you lower your head down, which part of your back stops pressing into the floor or gets lighter? And let's do that again. Again, waiting for the exhalation. Breathing out, lifting the head, your chin comes down to the chest, your eyes look down. Which part of your back presses into the floor? And as you lower your head, which part of your back lets go and comes back to neutral? Now, what we're going to do is the next time you lift your head, I'm going to ask you to actually exaggerate the part of your back that's pressing into the floor. So exaggerate that pressing. Press it in a little bit more stronger or harder. So go ahead, waiting for your exhalation. Lift your head, your chin comes down to your chest, and you press that part of your back, the middle of your back or your upper back, into the floor. And notice how that allows your head to lift a little bit more easily. And then you lower your head back down. Your back comes back to neutral. And you briefly rest. It's really important to rest between each movement because we're not doing stomach crunches. Each time you rest, you're giving your brain a chance to take in the information of what we've just done, to integrate it, learnings, and then when you do the movement again, you usually will find it's easier because the brain has learned something. That's why we're resting between each movement. So we're going to go ahead and do that again, lifting the head as you breathe out, your chin comes down to your chest, elbows float up and pressing that part of your back into the floor, exaggerating that. Notice how pressing it into the floor helps your head to lift a little bit. Then rest your head back down. Now sometimes the easiest way to tell what you're doing is to do the opposite. So in a minute I'm going to ask you to lift your head again and this time don't press that part of your back into the floor. Don't press that part of your back into the floor. And see what it feels like to lift your head without doing that. So lift your head without pressing the middle of your back into the floor. Notice if this feels familiar. It's probably what you were doing for the first 20 minutes of the lesson. And just notice how it's not as powerful. Your head might seem a little bit heavier. Let's do that again without pressing that part of your back into the floor. And now let's go back to the easier way of doing it, waiting for an exhalation. As you breathe out, letting your chin come down to your chest, your elbows lift, pressing the middle of your back into the floor. Nice one. Notice how that allows your head to just pop up a little bit easier. Then let it go, lengthen your legs, lengthen your arms, and have a rest. I'm just curious, those of you who are on the call, to see if pressing part of your spine into the floor made the lifting of the head easier. If it did, just press 1 on your phone, and if it didn't make any difference, press 2 on your phone. So if you found that pressing the middle of your back into the floor helped you to lift your head, press 1. If you found it didn't, press 2. It doesn't matter either way because your brain already may have known that bit. Okay, so I've seen every single person's hand press 1, so that's really interesting. I have found when I've taught this lesson that that particular piece of the puzzle is a big missing link for most people. Because what that's asking you to do is to start to use the middle of your spine to help you lift your head. Most of us, however, are in a habit where the only part of our spine we mobilize to lift our head is the bit above our shoulders. So I want you to just notice while you're lying on the floor that your spine starts from your tailbone and then you have your sacrum and then all these vertebrae that go all the way up, including the vertebrae in your neck, all the way to the base of your skull. That's the long spine or the long neck. Starts at the tailbone, it goes all the way up to your skull. When we lift our head, it's designed to be a type 1 lever system. Originally, we were probably crawling around on our hands and feet like apes do, or like animals do, like dogs and cats do. And you notice how they can just run around and their head is just easily suspended in midair. It's not vertical like our head. It takes a lot more work to keep your head on the horizontal plane. And because we evolved from that, our spine is organized to be able to do that. That takes a really clever organization for a dog or a cat or an ape to be able to be horizontal and have their head so that their eyes can look into the distance, so their head's not hanging down with gravity. That takes an awful lot of strength and clever mobilization of the spine. And we have that in our nervous system. Our spine is designed to be fully mobilized, which means the entire spine should be used when we lift our head. But most of us sit above our shoulders. I want you to notice how when you lie on the floor, your spine is straight. And I want you to bend your knees, stand your feet. I want you to interlace your hands behind your head. In a moment, we're going to lift our head again, pressing the middle of our back into the floor, letting the elbows lift, letting the eyes look down. And I want you to notice how your spine goes from being straight to being curved like a banana shape, curved at both ends, or like a rocking chair. So go ahead, wait for an exhale. Press the middle of your back into the floor and lift your head and feel how the whole of your spine curves into a banana shape a little bit. And then as you lower your head back down, notice how your spine goes back to being completely flat. So now we're starting to mobilize more of our spine. You feel that the whole spine can start to curve. So let's do that again. Exhaling, pressing the middle of the back into the floor, letting the elbows lift, the chin comes down to the chest, and feeling how the whole of your spine curves into more of a banana shape. And then as you lower your head down, your spine gets flat again. Now take your arms out from behind your head, but keep your legs bent. And now we're just going to play with the bottom half of the banana for a minute. You've done a little bit of this in other lessons. What I'd like you to do is very gently press your feet into the floor to roll your pelvis towards you, which will flatten out the arch of your lower back a little bit. And then just slowly unpress your feet, roll your pelvis back to the middle. Feel your lower back returns to its natural arch. Gently pressing your feet into the floor to roll your pelvis towards you. Your tailbone will tilt up a little bit. Your lower back will flatten. If you had a tennis ball sitting on your pubic bone, it would roll up your chest towards your chest a little bit. That's the angle, that's the direction that I'm talking about rolling. And then unpress your feet, roll back to the middle. Press your feet again, roll your pelvis towards you, flattening your lower back. And then slowly unpress your feet and roll back to the middle. Now we're going to play with the opposite movement. So I'd like you to roll your pelvis forward. Let your belly come forward. You roll more forward onto your front of your tailbone. You feel your lower back will arch a little bit. The whole belly gets a bit bigger. And then slowly roll back to the middle. So now if you had a tennis ball on your pubic bone, it would actually roll off onto the floor in front of you. So you're rolling your pelvis forward, letting your belly get bigger, your back arch a little bit, very gently. It's not a stretch. It's not a strain. And then you slowly come back to the middle. And let's do that again. Rolling your pelvis very gently forward, allowing the whole of your back to gently arch. And then come back to the middle. Have a rest, and now let's go the other way, which is gently pressing your feet into the floor to roll your pelvis towards you. And feel how this actually flattens your lower back. It's the opposite movement. Slowly unpress your feet and come back to the middle. And do that again. Gently press your feet, flatten your lower back. Nice. And then have a little rest. Just lengthen your legs briefly for a moment. And as you rest, notice how does your lower back lie on the floor now? Does it feel more arched or does it feel flatter? It will be different for everybody. So when we talk about mobilizing the entire spine, we're going to start to look at what's happening in the lower part of the spine. Even the lower part of the spine can be part of this community of vertebrae that actually can help you to lift your neck, lift your head really easily, mobilizing the entire spine. So let's explore that. Bend your knees, stand your feet. Interlace your hands behind your head. Have your feet shoulder width apart, somewhere comfortable. Not too far from you, not too close to you, kind of a neutral position where your feet feel really stable. Now, what I'd like you to do is roll your pelvis forwards. So your back arches a little bit, your belly gets bigger, and then keep your back arched. Arching position, let's see what it's like to lift our head. So wait till you breathe out. Let your chin come down to your chest, let your elbows lift, and see what it's like. You probably won't get very far with your back arched, so it'll be a smaller movement than we've been doing. You slowly lower your head down and let your back rest. And then just to really see this clearly, we're going to do it again. Gently roll your pelvis forward so your back is a little bit arched. Keep it arched, just gently, don't hurt yourself. And now with your back a little bit arched, see what it's like to lift your head. You probably won't get very far. Then let that go and have a rest. Keep your hands behind your head. Now the next time we do it, as you lift your head, you're going to press the middle of your back into the floor, let your chin come down to the chest. You're also going to gently press your feet into the floor to roll your pelvis towards you to flatten your lower back. So go ahead, lift your head, gently press your feet into the floor to roll your pelvis towards you and flatten your lower back, and feel how the whole spine now curves like a banana at both ends. And then you slowly lower your head down, your pelvis rolls back to neutral, and your whole spine comes back to being flat. Let's do that again. Waiting for the exhale, your elbows float up, your chin comes down to your chest, pressing the middle of your back into the floor, and also gently pressing your feet to roll your pelvis towards you. You might not even really need to press your feet. It's more just the rolling of the pelvis so your lower back flattens. And then let that go. Lower your head down. Now let's go back to the harder way of doing it, which is to not flatten your lower back. So this time, don't press through your feet. Don't roll your pelvis. Don't flatten your lower back. And see what it's like to lift your head. You may still find that you're doing the upper part of the banana. You may still the floor, but you're only doing half the banana now. You may notice how that makes it just that tiny bit harder to lift your head. And now let's, after you've had a rest, do the full banana of the spine. So as you lift your head, you press the middle of your back into the floor, you gently press your feet into the floor, your pelvis rolls towards you. It's like you're gently lifting at both ends. The shoulders and the hip and the tailbone are lifting a little bit. You're pressing the middle of your spine into the floor. So you're lifting up both ends of the banana. And then rest with your hands behind your head. Now we're going to do what most people do when I ask them to lift their head. And many of you may have found this is actually what you did at the start of the lesson without realizing it. I want you to keep the entire banana flat on the floor. The only bit you're going to lift is the bit above your shoulders. So you're going to just lift your head and just bend in your neck. Your shoulders will stay on the ground. Your whole spine will stay flat. You can lift your elbows up and feel how it's kind of like a nodding movement. You lift your head, but you're bending in the neck. Your shoulders stay on the floor. Your whole spine stays straight. And it's just a little nodding movement. Feel what that's like. Your chin can still come down to your chest. This is really what's available to most people. They don't use anything in their spine. They only use the vertebrae of their neck. But most people don't actually let their chin come down to their chest. So let's try that. Let's not let your chin come down to your chest and see what's possible. And notice how heavy your head feels now. Does this feel familiar? Some of you may find you're now doing the movement exactly like you did at the start. Keeping the chin up towards the ceiling. And now let's add in staring our eyes at the ceiling. So keep your back completely flat. Don't bring your chin to your chest. Keep your eyes looking up at the ceiling. And now see how it gets even harder to lift your head. And now let's add in the final clincher, which is to keep your elbows out to the side. Don't let your spine bend. Keep your chin away from your chest and keep your eyes looking at the ceiling and have your elbows out to the side. See what it's like to lift your head. Is this what it felt like at the start of the lesson? Many of you probably did. And have a rest. Let your arms come out. Let your legs lengthen. Isn't that extraordinary? How as you start to add in all the things that you've learned, as you start to take them all out of the equation, undo all the learning, go back to what you were doing before, how we go back to what we thought was really, really difficult. And that's what's fascinating about Feldenkrais. Sometimes there are lessons where the movement he asks you to do seems to be trying to get us to do all sorts of crazy things, somersaults and headstands, and put your arm underneath your leg and then take hold of your toes and crazy stuff. And I used to look at him like, Alan, that's not possible. What you're asking me is not possible. How am I supposed to do that? And then an hour later, I could do it so easily. And it was just that all the little pieces in the puzzle I had to learn. So it's not that the movements are impossible. It's not that lifting our head is hard. It's that our brain doesn't know how to organize the movement. It has used so many habits that interfere. Habits like keeping the spine rigid. Habits like keeping the neck stiff so we don't let the back of the neck lengthen. Ideas like keeping the eyes fixed, keeping the elbows out. These are all habits that we have from sitting at computers, keeping our spines rigid, keeping our eyes fixed. It's not because the head is heavy. The head is not heavy. As I said at the start, it's designed to be able to be carried when we're crawling on our arms and legs. It's just that we have learned how to interfere with the easy movement. So we're starting to get a glimpse of that, some of you, in this lesson. So once again, use the frog legs movement to bend your legs, stand your feet, interlace your hands behind your head again. And now let's put together everything we've learned so far just to see how easy the movement gets when we organize it more intelligently. So what we're going to do is we're going to allow the elbows to float up, the eyes to look down at the crotch, the chin to come down to the chest. The whole spine is going to curve into a banana shape. We're going to press the middle of our spine into the floor. And we're going to do it all as we breathe out. So go ahead, breathing out, pressing the middle of your back into the floor, and that's usually enough to remind you to let your chin come down to your chest, let your eyes look down to your pubic bone, let your whole spine curve into banana shape, your pelvis rolls towards you, and look how much higher your head can lift than it was doing before the rest. Lower your head down. And we'll do that one last time. Breathing in, and as you breathe out, press the middle of your back into the floor. Allow the whole spine to curve like a banana, including your pelvis, your upper back, your chin, your eyes, your elbows, everything curls. And then slowly lowering down. Now, what I'd like you to do is take your right hand out. Actually, keep your right hand behind your head. And take your left hand and find your sternum bone. It's a flat triangular bone between your two breasts. It starts at the base of the throat and goes down into a triangle shape. And you'll feel it. It's just like a small flat bone between your throat. And just curl your fingers up into a fist, and a gentle, soft fist, and just place the back of your fist onto that flat area, or you might want to place your palm onto that flat area of your sternum, whatever's more comfortable. And now what I want you to do is your left hand is just going to be a sensing device. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to use your right hand to lift your head. You can still let the right elbow lift. You can do everything we've learned. And I want you to pay attention with your left hand to what is happening in your sternum. Does it move at all, or does it stay where it is? So go ahead, breathing out, pressing the middle of your back into the floor, lifting your head. Feel what's happening under your left hand in your sternum. Does it move? Does it stay where it is? Then let your head rest. The next time you do this movement, I'd like you to actually use your left hand to very gently encourage your sternum to slide down towards your belly button. So you're not going to shove and push your sternum. You're just going to gently encourage it to slide down towards your belly button. So So wait for the out breath and breathing out, pressing the middle of your back into the floor, lifting your head and using your left hand to just encourage your sternum to slide down towards your belly button a little bit. And then as you lower your head back to the floor, you feel how your sternum comes back to neutral. And let's do that one last time. Lifting your head as you breathe out, using your hand to encourage your sternum to slide down a little bit. And then rest, just take your two arms out, keep your legs bent. Now flop the arms over. This time take your left hand, place it behind your head, behind your skull. Now with your right hand, place your hand on your soft belly. In my case, it's very soft. Some people are softer than others. Place your right hand on your soft belly and then move your hand a little bit higher until you feel where your ribs are. You feel like a curved arc of your lower ribs. If you go lower, you drop off that ridge and you're on your fleshy belly. If you come up a little bit, you'll be sort of like on this ridge of your ribs. Come a little bit above that so that your right heel of your hand is on the right side of your lower ribs, the right fingertips are on the left side of your lower ribs. If your heel of your hand is on a soft, fleshy bit, you're too low. So come a little bit higher so your heel of your hand is on the right side of your lower ribs, the fingertips are on the left side of your lower ribs. Now, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to use your left hand to lift your head. And I want you to notice what happens in your lower ribs. Do they change shape? Do they stay the same shape? Just do it as an experiment. So lift your head with your left hand. Let your chin come down to your chest. Do the banana shape. And just notice what's happening in your lower ribs. Do they poke out or do they sink down? And then leave that. Now, this time what we're going to do is we're going to use the right hand to very gently encourage your ribs to soften and sink down into your belly button. So they're going to, instead of jutting forwards and jutting out, they're going to soften and sink down towards your belly button. So go ahead, wait till you breathe out. Breathe out, lift your head, round your spine into the banana shape, and use your right hand to encourage those ribs to sink down a little bit towards your belly button. And just notice what that does to the movement. For some people, this is a crucial missing link that makes a huge difference. So let's do this again, lifting the head, allowing your lower ribs to soften and slide down towards your belly button. And then leave that, keep your legs bent, but take your arms out, have a rest. Now, interlace your hands behind your head. And to get really clear about the ribs and sternum, what I want you to do is stick your chest out, puff your chest out like you're a big tough boy who wants to look really tough. So really stick your ribs out, lift your chest, puff it up. Keep your chest puffed up and stuck out like this and see what it's like to lift your head. You can still let your elbows float up, breathe out. You probably won't get very far though. This is why when people think their head is heavy, it's nothing to do with their head. They're doing all these sorts of behaviors with their chest and their spine. Let that go. Let's just do that one last time. Puff your chest up. Lift your ribs. Kind of, it's kind of a fight or flight posture. It's an anxiety posture. It's a I'm tough, I'm trying to look tough posture. It's a self-protective posture. Many of us do it for many different reasons. See what it's like to lift our head with the chest lifted and puffed up. Probably won't get very far, and then let that go. Now, the next time you do it, I'd like you to imagine that you have another hand and it's on your ribs. And as you lift your head, you breathe out, you round your spine, you press the middle of your back into the floor, and feel how your chest, your ribs, your sternum soften and slide down towards your belly button, which helps the spine to round even more into its banana shape. So everything we're doing today is designed to help the spine learn to mobilize fully. So doing that again, as you breathe out, you feel your ribs soften and sink down towards your belly button. The whole front of your body softens, which allows the spine to round. And then leave that. Take your arms out, lengthen your legs, and have a rest. Now, we've been talking a lot about mobilizing the spine. There's a very interesting thing about the spine that most of us don't realize. the bits of you that are touching the floor are not your spine. They're just the spinous processes. They're like the porcupine needles that stick out. They're not the porcupine. They're just the needles. So it's like you have a spinal column, and that sits exactly in the middle of your torso. Your spinal column is as close to the front of you as it is to the back of you. So I want you to just imagine this column of your spine. It's not on the floor. It's in the middle of you. Under it are these pokey, porcupine kind of things called spinous processes that stick out, and that's what's touching the floor. But that's not your spine. Your spine is in the middle of you. So just think that through. For some people, it's an absolutely radical shift in your self-perception. The first time I found out about it, I'd been doing Feldenkrais for about 2 years, and I realized I'd been organizing all my bending movements inaccurately, which was causing lots of restrictions in my movement, simply because I didn't understand that my spine was in the middle of my torso. So go ahead, bend your knees, stand your feet, interlace your hands behind your head, and with this idea that your spine is in the middle of you, and that is what is bending into the banana shape, let's see what it's like now to breathe out, press it back into the floor, and feel how your spine bends and rounds into a banana shape. But feeling how your spine is in the middle of your torso, does that make a difference to this movement? For some people, that will make no difference. For someone else, it might be a massive breakthrough in the quality of lifting your head. Let's do that again. Lifting the head, pressing the spine into the floor, feeling the whole spine curve into a banana shape, noticing where the spine is in the middle of you, feeling your chest sink down, your elbows lift, your shoulders lift, your tailbone lift, everything lifts, and then you lower your head down. Everything comes back to the floor. And well done. Take a complete rest now. Lengthen your arms, lengthen your legs. Now, this lesson's not just about lifting the head. It's all about changing the organization of your spine. So you might find now as we rest that your body is lying very differently on the floor. So even if you're still finding your head very heavy to lift or difficult to lift, you may still find, though, that actually your body's organized differently now. You might find your shoulders are lying differently, so pay attention to the back of your shoulders. You might find your torso, your arms lying differently than it was. Notice the arch of the back of your neck. How long is that arch? How high is it lifted off the floor? You might find the back of your neck is closer to the floor or further from the floor now. Notice the two points at the top and bottom of the arch of your neck, have they changed their place a little bit? Maybe the arch starts a bit higher or lower now. And then notice the arch of your lower back. We've done a lot of playing with the shape of the lower back today. You might find your back is flattened out. Or if your back was very flat, you might find your back feels more arched. Notice how your pelvis and legs are lying on the floor. And now bend your knees, stand your feet. Keep your arms by your sides. Now, we're going to do one of our test movements, which is to lift the head without the hands. But in order to do this, I want you to use everything that we've learned. So I'm just going to run through them with you. You're going to wait for the exhalation. You're going to breathe out as you lift your head, and you're going to organize it by pressing the middle of your back into the floor, letting the whole spine round like a banana. Your eyes are going to look down to the floor between your legs so your chin comes down to your chest, and the whole front of your ribs and sternum are going to slide down. So let's just do it in our imagination first. Imagine that you press the middle of your back into the floor, the whole spine round like a banana. Your head effortlessly pops up into the air. Your chin is down towards your chest. Your eyes are looking to the floor between your legs. And the whole chest and sternum slides down towards your pubic bone. So in a moment, I want you to get ready and take a big breath in. And as you breathe out, pressing the middle of your back into the floor, let your spine round. Your chin comes down towards your chest. Your eyes look between your legs. back of the shoulders, lift the whole spine round like a banana, and you probably find you can lift your head a lot higher than you could at the start. Lowering yourself back down, and let's do it again. It's a very empowering movement, and you're organizing it by mobilizing your entire spine. Pressing the middle of the back into the floor, letting the whole spine round, the chest and sternum slide down, your chin comes towards your chest, your eyes look to the floor. And notice how easily, some of you probably, your head's even coming up to vertical. Some of you might find you're only lifting it a small amount, but maybe at the beginning you couldn't lift it at all. Some of you may still not be game and not want to try lifting your head. That's okay if you've had a history of neck pain. But you might find that your imagined movement has improved. Your imaginary movement has gotten easier. So leaving that, have a rest. Very gently now, just roll your head a tiny bit to the left and a tiny bit to the right. You may even find that this movement has somehow freed up. Even though you would think your neck would be stiff and sore and tired because you've lifted your head maybe 50 or 60 times in the last hour, maybe more. But for most people, because what we've actually been doing is not working with the neck at all, we've been working with starting to mobilize the rest of the spine, to use the whole community of the spine to wake up some of the vertebrae that haven't been used for many, many years. And in fact, we've hardly been using the vertebrae above your shoulders that we typically call the neck. We haven't really been using those for this lesson. So you might even find that your neck is actually feeling quite free. And then leave that, slowly roll yourself to the side, slowly come up to sitting. And just take a moment to arrive in sitting because your neck is organized very differently now. Your whole spine is organized very differently now. Your head will be sitting differently on your shoulders. Slowly come up to standing. And just take a minute to stand with your eyes closed. You can have them open if you feel dizzy. But just notice what's different. So start by taking a nice deep breath. You might find that now you've freed up your upper spine and your chest. There's a lot more room for oxygen to come into your lungs now. Nice deep breath. And then notice, how are your shoulders hanging now? They might be in a different place. What's the shape of your chest now? Does it feel more sunken or more lifted? What's the shape of your belly? Notice the shape of the back of your torso. You could imagine someone running their hand up and down your back. Does it feel flatter or more arched? Where is the weight in your two feet? You haven't really done much with the legs, but you might find that simply by reorganizing the upper body, spine, pelvis, that your weight is distributed quite differently on your legs. You might feel taller or shorter, lighter or heavier. Notice the length of your neck. You might find it's longer or shorter. Does your head feel lighter or heavier? And then open your eyes and just see, where is your horizon now? My horizon looks higher than it did. Some people's will look higher, some people's will look lower. Some will look the same. And then go for a little walk and just notice what your head feels like now, balanced on your spine. How is your body moving, your chest, your upper back? And then make your way back to your computer, because I'm really interested to ask a question of all of you who are on the call live. I wanted you to ask, if you found it easier to lift your head when you didn't have your hands at the end and you just lifted your head without your hands, press 1. Curious to see. Found it easier to lift your head without your hands to help you at the end? I've seen all the hands go up. Going to take those hands down. Now I want to ask, if you found it twice as easy, so your head lifted twice as easily or twice as far, then press 2. If you found it lifted 3 times as easily, press 3. If you found it lifted 4 times as easily, press 4. Just assess that in your own terms. It's twice as easy, 3 times as easy, or 4 times as easy. I'm seeing 2 threes and fours. Mainly threes and fours, actually. So that's amazing. So just give yourself some credit. You have dramatically reorganized your body, dramatically learned how to mobilize your entire spine to lift your head, and that's going to translate to many, many movements in your life. Bending down to pick up a baby, bending down to pick up a pile of books, reach, leaning forward, doing yoga poses, anything that requires you to curl your spine up. You now know how to use your whole spine. It's a massively, massively fundamental movement that most of us do not know how to do because we spent so many years in our personality posture of bracing, trying to be tough, trying to assert ourselves in the world, or being in fight or flight, emotional response to situations of bracing our spine, puffing out our chest, sucking in our belly, keeping our eyes fixed to computers. Now, none of those things are bad. They are just simply the consequences of living in our world and being embodied emotional beings. We pick up many, many habits, and we don't question them. So I know a lot of you are very evolved women, and you've been doing a lot of work to question your mental patterns, your patterns of thinking, your beliefs. Some of you have even done work on your emotional patterns, but very few people out there are looking at how they embody these mental and emotional patterns. If you don't shift the embodied way that you're carrying yourself, then it's very hard to actually really shift the emotional and thinking patterns, because when we think assertive or we think victim or we feel depressed or we feel deflated or we feel fight or flight, we do those feelings with our body. So if we're stuck in the habits in our body, we can do all this work emotionally and mentally, and I did many years of it, but the stuff doesn't really deeply shift until we learn to notice the habits in our body and start to shift them. So you may find that after today's lesson, it's not just that you're moving freely and you can lift your head and you can get into the yoga poses easily, but you've actually shifted an awful lot of your organizations around your chest, your spine, that will impact on your emotional life. So just notice as you go through the world, if you're reacting to things a bit differently, you're not holding on to stuff in the same way, you're not bracing yourself or puffing yourself up in the world as much as you might have done. And it's just a really interesting thing to notice. And I don't normally talk about this in my Feldenkrais classes, but because most of you have come to this through my other work, which is personal growth work and public speaking work, and those of you who have come through Feldy, in my more enlightened range of my clients, that's why you're doing this, I feel it's really appropriate to start to talk about some of the psychophysical aspects of this work. So we're pretty much at the end of the lesson, but because it's been such a powerful lesson, those of you who do have microphones, who have access to a microphone, I know not everyone does, I'm going to ask if one or two people would like to share their experience, because I think it will be really illuminating for everyone else, particularly those of you on the recording. So we have Liz, Susan, Mary, Teresa, and Marcia. I know Jasmine doesn't have a mic, and I'm not sure if Philippa has a mic. So if you have anything, or I'd love to hear a couple of you share, so just press 1 on your phone and I'll pass you the mic. It would be really, really great to hear a few different people, your experience, what it was like to lift your head, what habits you noticed were interfering with that, and what changed at the end in your walking and anything you're sensing in your sense of self or your emotions. So go ahead and press 1 and I'll pass you the mic. Let's start with Liz. Go ahead, Liz. You've got the mic.
Thank you. I found my head was very heavy to lift at the beginning and then got easier. But the amazing part was at the end when I stood up, my back felt really straight and I felt really so much taller. My posture just really felt improved. Amazing.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, it's amazing. You'll probably find if you go and stand in front of a mirror now, you look really, really different.
I know. Really, I walk amazing. Into the bathroom and I look at myself.
Great. That's beautiful. This was one of my favorite ever Feldenkrais lessons, because for me it was a real turning point. It's one of the few times in my life where I burst into tears at the end of a Feldenkrais lesson, because at the very start of the lesson, I couldn't lift my head at all, not even a millimeter. It was just impossible, and it absolutely killed my neck trying to lift my head. I was just remember saying, what is he asking me to lift my head? This is impossible. It's creating so much pain. And at the end, I could lift my head up to vertical, and it felt effortless. And I was like absolutely stunned. I burst into tears, and it was really, really amazing. So I'm not suggesting that that will be the case for everyone, but this can be a really breakthrough lesson for some people. So I noticed someone else pressed 1, but I accidentally took their hands down. So if there's anyone else on the call who pressed 1, press it again, and I'll pass you the mic. It might have been Mary who just dropped off the call. So I'd like to take one more share. So if there's anyone else who has anything to say, maybe Susan or Teresa or Marcia or Philippa, press 1 on your phone. and we'll hear how that was for you. Or maybe one of you have a question. All right, well, that's okay. We'll just leave it. Sometimes people are in a very quiet inner space after these lessons. They don't feel like talking, so I totally get that. So thank you all so much. This is a lesson that's absolutely fundamental. For some of you, your brain may have learnt this pattern now, and you may find you always lift your head easily after this. But for most people, I would suggest doing the lesson two or three more times over the next few weeks, and it will really lock it in, and then it will really be a permanent change. So I'm so glad you've all persevered with this lesson. If you did find it painful, do the lesson again later in the week. You'll find it will be much easier the next time because you will have learnt a lot, and each time you do it, it will get easier and easier. So I'm not sure what we're going to do next week, but I will be calling you from New Zealand because I'm about to go to New Zealand for 2 months. I'm flying out in a couple of days. So who knows? I might be a completely different sound to my voice calling from New Zealand. But anyway, I hope you all have a beautiful week. I'm just going to pass the mic to people so you can all say goodbye to each other out loud. So you're all on mic now so you can call out goodbye. See you all.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.